Everybody wants to know what I would do if I didn't win.
Here comes Aaron Gordon the other way. Gordon! Oh, my goodness! Oh!
Circus shot. They will count it. Jamal Murray taking him to the schoolyard.
Jokic has to put it up. Falling away, puts it up.
Bang! Nikola Jokic knocks it. It's over. After 47 years, the Denver Nuggets can finally call themselves NBA champions.
Y'all want to do it again? Let's do this. Let's do this. Dynasty.
I guess we'll never know.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Denver Stiff Show. It is your hosts, Zach Mikosh and Gordon Gross. We are back from hiatus. Gordon, we've been traveling. That's been our thing.
We've been out of town on assignment. It's not our fault.
Exactly. On assignment. I was on assignment in Memphis to see the Nuggets wrap up the regular season there against the Grizzlies. By the way, shout out to the FedEx Forum. Definitely nicer than Ball Arena.
Yeah.
Which somewhat of a low bar to clear there, I think. Ultimately, this thing, you don't think about Ball Arena, like that's I said, we're creeping up on a 30-year-old.
It's dated now. It's 30. Yeah, you're going on 30 years, and it's getting a little creaky, which is sad to say about 30 years, but
right.
Considering how some of the newer arenas look, you're like, yeah, I get it.
Right, for sure. And I mean, they've done a good job of remodeling and doing upgrades in there. But yeah, it was just like kind of interesting. Like, you know, FedEx Forum like has a full like sound stage where they're right. Like pregame or like having like, you know, performers out there and doing a whole bunch of stuff. And it's like, yeah, we got nothing like this over at Ball Arena.
They're just set up differently. It's not even that it's amenities necessarily. It's a different feel in the arena with the way they lay the seating out now than the way they used to do the stadium seating. Yeah, it's just a different thing.
That's a good point. That is a good point, yeah. Ball Arena is such a cavern.
Just the way they built it, man. And they all built them in the 90s that way. Like, that's how they were. And then they were like, you know what? We can do better.
I wish we'd go back to the way we built them in the 70s, right? Where you dig a big pit and then sink it down in the ground.
Right? And then you go down into the arena. Yeah. Like right. A dungeon. Let's do it.
Like good old McNichols.
Yeah. You just walk in and you're like, this can't be that big. And then you're like, oh, it's like 50 like, feet underground.
I'm already, okay. Yeah, I'm already on the highest floor.
I gotta
work my way down. Yeah, I always liked McNichols. That was a cool one. But no, yeah, we've been out. Gordon was traveling. I was traveling. I tried to make some things work with the Denver Stiff Show with some guests, but it just, you know, as people were busy, it's just the way it is. And I'm also incredibly busy, like outside of Denver Stiffs. So like, I'm basically like, hey, can you record Sunday night? And people be like, no, I can't record Sunday night, dude. I can record any other night. And I'm like, yeah, Sunday night's the only night that works for me. So
yeah,
we'll just move on then. So I apologize to our dedicated listeners.
But we're back, and we're not going to talk about baseball. We're just going to talk about basketball.
We're going to strictly keep it focused on the Denver Nuggets, who are coming off of a Game 1 win against the Los Angeles Lakers here in the first round. Game 2 here will be Monday night. We got the late night game, 8 p.m. local on, probably on TNT.
Yeah.
National game.
It's also on altitude.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, if you want to, not that I'm getting paid to promo Fubo in any ways, but I'll just throw it out there because I do have Fubo and I actually like it quite a bit. But, yeah, if you have Fubo, you can either catch the Nuggets games that are not on altitude or the ones that are on ABC. So you can catch that on Fubo as well. Of course, Fubo's one big weakness is that it doesn't carry TNT, which is a bummer, but
you gotta have
they'll
Max
be on altitude.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, exactly. What a pain in the ass.
I know. The modern streaming, man, where it's worse than cable, but expensive.
Right.
So.
Right. But yeah, so they'll be up on Monday night here at 8 p.m. against the Lakers in Game 2. Obviously, we will focus most of, if not all, of our conversation on the Los Angeles Lakers, because we will have three games before Gordon and I get back together next week. And we're hoping, you know, next Sunday when we're doing the next episode of the Denver Stiff Show, that we're talking about who our Round 2 opponent is, and the Nuggets get a nice, clean sweep of the Los Angeles Lakers. Let's start there, Gordon. Like, how confident, where would your confidence level be right now on the Nuggets sweeping the Lakers once again?
I mean, I think it's, I said it was going to be a gentleman's sweep before the series started. I mean, I still have trouble figuring out how they win that game. I feel like I should not be calling a sweep. But I mean, the Nuggets were just messing around last night. Anytime you comfortably win by double digits and you're out there playing DeAndre Jordan like it's an October game.
Right.
Like, you know, if this is the Lakers' best shot when they were rested, they were prepared, they hadn't shown their hands, they could do anything, and that's what happened, yeah, good luck, man. Because the Nuggets were rusty, the Nuggets were a little they were a little slow to start. They had to make that run, 14 or yeah, like 14 to 2.
Yeah, they were down like 12, I think. Yeah, exactly. Maybe like 14-2 run to tie it. That's
yeah. And so before LeBron got that three off, and so
right before half. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it was the Nuggets started slow, and then they said, you know what, we're just gonna run you down. Like, it's not even an effort. We're just going to do the stuff that we do, and you're going to blink, and we're not going to blink, and this game's going to be over. And that's what happened. So I don't understand how the Lakers make the Nuggets blink. I don't get how they do that. They don't have the guarding situation, whether it's against MPJ or against Jamal. And they certainly can't stop Jokic. So they're going to have to devote multiple resources to stopping Jokic, which means they can't stop everybody else. So I don't understand what the plan can be. Yeah.
As we saw in that game, because, you saw, KCP struggle in that first half. Right. And then in the second half, it's just inevitable. If you're going to continue to give that man open looks, he's going to start knocking down some threes. Yep. And that's exactly what happened. Because you're right. The Lakers were throwing a lot of double teams at Jokic. They continue, for the most part, to not want to take Jokic one-on-one with Anthony Davis, which is, to me, going back to game one of last year when they tried that in the Western Conference Finals, and Jokic was just torching him. They tried it for one half and Jokic just torched him. So they don't have that answer there, and then everything becomes a scramble. Then it's pick your poison. This is the way the Nuggets are built. And you would like to pick your poison of Anthony Gordon or Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon in the corner, right? That's probably your shot that you will live with the most. But the Nuggets and the way they flow through their offense so much is they know that too. They know that that's the shot you want them to take. So that's their last alternative. They will continue to just keep working that ball, working through Jokic. You know, I thought sometimes they got away from getting the ball to Jokic, particularly there in the beginning of the fourth quarter when LA went on a little mini run. It was will we please just get back to give the ball to Jokic? This is not complicated. But what struck me a ton about LA is LeBron James and Anthony Davis had good games. They were the only guys who had good games. And it's if you're going to get 59 points out of LeBron James and Anthony Davis and
you don't win that
double
game
digits, what are you going to do? And I think it comes down to me, it's the X factor for them has to be D'Angelo Russell, right? But we have seen so many times D'Angelo Russell just puts up terrible performances against the Nuggets. This game was no different.
Well, and you got to thank KCP for that, right? That's one of those things where that is the effect of KCP, where a guy who is used to regular season basketball and regular season, I'm left open, I'm the afterthought. And, you know, in here he's being game planned for, and KCP is 100% making sure that he has a bad day. Like that's KCP's only goal. His goal is to make a couple threes and make sure that D'Angelo Russell has a very, very bad day. And now, to be fair, D'Angelo missed a couple of open shots that he should have made. You know, like, there were a couple of shots that he definitely should have had that he did not have. But part of that is because it's the pressure of, this shot is open, I'm not getting another one of these. Like, I have to make this. And that's the thing about the playoffs, is the Nuggets are built for the pressure. And it's the other thing, I think it was Matt Moore that was talking about it, and it's something that I have been saying for a while, that I don't care what your stats are. Your stats do not necessarily equal impact. And if, you know, when people were talking on LA Twitter about how Anthony Davis had outplayed Nikola Jokic, and I don't know what game they were watching, but yeah, that did not happen.
Right.
Like, and the thing is that Nikola takes care of the game. He manages every aspect of it. He handles the fact that the Nuggets, you know, they run their offense not just through him, but with him. He's happy to set screens and to get guys open. He helped them work the rust off in game one. He had a plan, and he knew that part of that plan was going to be, I'm going to go ahead and take control down the stretch. But in the beginning of the game, I want the guys to get on track. I want them to feel good about themselves. Like, my game is always there. And so the Nuggets fell behind with the rust, but Jokic didn't blink. He knows what he's doing, and he ran the Lakers down. They just ground them into paste by the end of the game because Jokic controls games. And Anthony Davis got blocks, right? And you're like, well, he had blocks, and they were, but they didn't have any impact. The Nuggets just got the ball back and scored. Like, you know, they weren't afraid of Anthony Davis. They weren't afraid of his blocks. They weren't afraid of his scoring. There's nothing that he did that they were like, oh, no, we can't handle this. They got the rebounds. They out-rebounded the Lakers. You know, they pressed them on both ends. They made sure that L.A. stopped running, which was really the only way that the Lakers can take it to the Nuggets, is for the Nuggets to miss a bunch and the Lakers to run on them. And if they can't do that, they're not going to be able to beat the Nuggets in a half-court game. So it's – again, I'm not really sure – where this win I'm expecting from the Lakers is going to come from, because I don't see what the plan is. If the Nuggets want to play, and the Nuggets only played like a half tonight, you know, they played like 28 minutes of basketball.
Right.
You know, and they won easily. They, it was, I wouldn't say they didn't take the Lakers seriously, but they certainly took it like, we're completely unafraid of you, and you being up early is not going to bother us.
I mean, I would argue they somewhat didn't take it that. I mean, Jokic was dressing up as Gru before the game started. Like, there was a level of unserious. There's or lack of.
I don't know about unseriousness. It was definitely a level of feeling themselves. The Nuggets are not afraid of the Lakers. Like, no, there is like, no Laker mystique. Nothing.
Yeah, man. I mean, I didn't realize this. Anthony Davis played 45 minutes.
Yes, and like I said, you can't. I don't.
3 minutes, and it wasn't enough.
It didn't. Like, it wasn't enough. It wasn't close to enough. You know, and maybe again, maybe Reeves and D'Angelo Russell hit more threes in other games, and the Nuggets go cold. You know what I mean? And they pull something out. But the Nuggets always have the unstoppable offense to go back to. They always have the Murray Jokic pick and roll. You know, they've always got that. They've always got the, you know, the back cut oops to Aaron Gordon. They've got
that's it, right?
MPJ stretching the floor. Yeah.
Right. Like, you run that pick and roll, and okay, if you cover that, well, then we've got the third option is now Aaron Gordon is coming down the baseline for an alley-oop, or Michael Porter Jr. is sitting over in the corner, or KCP is sitting over in the corner, you know, ready for that kick out. And no matter what you do, because the Lakers are going to commit to that double team. We saw it, you know, plenty in that game. Like, they're going to commit to that double team when Jokic has got the ball in the post. And it's just – Jokic is just like, fine. Then who's the open guy? And the thing is like, you can't – like, it's such a catch-22. No matter what you do, like, if the Lakers are like, screw it, we're going to let Jokic be a scorer, he's going to put up 50 on them. If they're like, you know what, like, we can't do that. We're going to double every time he gets the ball. Like, they've got – the Nuggets have too many shooters around them that they're just going to continue to knock down those shots. And if all you're getting is Anthony Davis and LeBron James, like,
you're – ain't enough.
yeah. It ain't enough because like the bench was abysmal for the Lakers. I mean, Torian Prince is all right, but like the rest of them, I mean, nothing but goose eggs from the rest of those guys. And like, I don't know, man, like there's so much, and some of it was because I was looking at Lakers fan talk, but like so much talk from the Lakers fans about the depth of this team. And I'm looking at them like, have you seen how Gabe Vincent has played in the 11 games he's been with your team? Like, are you seeing some other Jackson Hayes than like who I've known for like Jackson Hayes' whole career? Like that bench unit is just there's not enough coming off of that group. And Christian Wood might
come back. Who even knows?
Yeah, right, like another empty. Yeah, I mean Jackson Hayes, Christian Wood. What's the difference at the end of the day? But like the thing is like the other thing that you're on borrowed time if this is your plan, because like LeBron James is 39 years old, man. Like we saw it last year in Game 4 when he blew up in that first set. We saw it in this game. Like the man cannot play 48 minutes. You played him 41 minutes in this game. He can't do that. If you play him 41 minutes, then 20 of those minutes, which he's going to play in the second half, are going to be garbage. Like he's going to be like just an average player. And that's exactly what happened. He had 7 turnovers in that game because like flat out can't do it. When Jokic gets the dunk, the dagger dunk, right, to close out this game. That break starts with Anthony Davis hunched over, hands on his knees, trying to
grab his pants, man. Grab his pants, trying to breathe. Yep.
How are you gonna, man?
And they were off for the last 4 days. Like that's
exactly. Like
you are as rested as you're
exactly. It's not like they flew in the night before. The air was like, oh, the altitude. They got to get acclimated. Like, listen, man, I've grown up in Colorado my whole life. I'm not saying that the altitude is not a thing. But like, you were here the day before. Like, you had time to acclimate, and you played Anthony Davis 45 minutes. Like, that's what it is. I don't care if you played him in 45 minutes in L.A. Like, that's correct. The way these guys are going to look. And that's what I feel like the Lakers have to do, though, because they got nobody else. Like, if you're depending on D'Angelo Russell to be the guy who's going to, like, put you over the top, well, we got, like, damn near a decade worth of data now on D'Angelo Russell to be like, yeah, it's – well, go ask the Timberwolves. You know, go ask the Nets. Go ask the Warriors. Like, how did that work out for them? Right? Like, you can't. There's just not enough here, and LeBron is not superhuman enough, and so that's why, man. Like, I don't know. I don't know what they do, and I think maybe maybe D'Angelo Russell or Austin Reeves has a super hot shooting night, and that's how they steal themselves the game in L.A. or something like that. But man, it feels a lot like.
It's just like I was talking about it on, I think I just tweeted about it probably yesterday, where it's the way that Nikola Jokic plays ball. He figures out what you're going to do to him, and then he gets the best play out of that. You don't force the Nuggets to take a bad option. There aren't any bad options because the one that's going to happen is going to be the most correct, easiest to complete shot. That's what's going to happen every time. And so, I mean, Murray was talking about it last night about how what he loves about the Nuggets is how they just play pure basketball. That everybody, I think his quote was something like, everybody knows where they should be and everybody knows that they'll get an open shot, you know, if they're where they're supposed to be. So, they're already, it's not like a reflex where you have forced them to take, oh God, you got us out of our real action to something else. That doesn't happen with Denver. You do not force them to do things they don't want to do. You're forcing them to do things that they practice doing all the time.
Right.
And I don't understand how you're going to stop them with two real players and then a bunch of scrubs, which is what LA has. Like, I don't see how you do it. Like, I you know, maybe, you know, the Timberwolves have a better plan because they have bigger defenders and a bunch of them, you know, but the Lakers are not a defensive squad. You know, what the Lakers have are they get a lot of their points from the free throw line. And they don't give up a lot of points from the free throw line. So they get free points, and free points help them win games. But the Nuggets are used to not getting free throws. So that shit doesn't work with them. You can't fool them and get them out of their game where they're used to getting free throws, but now they don't. The Nuggets never get free throws. So their whole game is predicated on make the shot. So them making the shot is fine. They don't care. That's what they usually do. And I don't see how the Lakers have a game plan to find more points when the Nuggets do everything they do well. And the Lakers need guys like, can D'Angelo Russell match Jamal Murray? Like, yeah, the answer is no. He cannot do that.
Right.
So if that's what you need to win, you ain't going to win. That's just a fact.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like if you got to choose Rui Hachimura or Aaron Gordon, like, which one are you going to choose, right?
Right.
Like, it's easy call. And that's been the thing, right, is at least in this game one and for a large part, pretty much this story about the Nuggets and the Lakers for the past year has been, like, who's going to come with these guys? Who's going to step up? Because we know Anthony Davis is guaranteeing the series. Anthony Davis is going to throw up, like, a 14-point performance in there. Like, that's... Uh-huh. That's the way he goes. We know that LeBron is going to continue to dwindle in the second half because he's 39 years old. Like, nobody else at age 39 is anywhere close to what LeBron is like doing in this league. Like, but you need LeBron to beat the Nuggets. You need LeBron to be 26-year-old LeBron. Like, and that's not happening. Like, it's just not. And they don't, you know, this is kind of what it goes back to. The way this team is built is when you are paying, you know, $80 million or whatever it is to two guys, to one guy who's 39 and the other guy who, I mean, we saw it in the game. Like, how many times do we see Anthony Davis come up like, oh, this is hurting or that is hurting? Like, he just, I don't want to say it seems like it's a tough criticism to give a guy. Like, I will not say Anthony Davis is injury prone. Partially because I don't believe injury prone is really a thing, say for like guys like Yao Ming, right? Who are just complete physical freaks of nature, that like the human body should not be built that way, which I've heard in some ways is the way, you know, it's happened for Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis is built in a way that most people are not built.
Right. So. Right. But I'm sorry, Anthony Davis is soft. Like, it's just the way it is. Like, man, like he gets dinged up like everybody else gets dinged up in the NBA, but he lets it affect him more than a guy like Jamal Murray would, right? Like, Jamal Murray is playing on one ankle and he's still going to put up 30 points on you because, like, that's just his mindset. Whereas I feel like Anthony Davis is like, oh, I'm hurt. Like, I got to kind of pack it in a little bit. Like, that's the route, that's the guy that the Lakers are depending on. And a 39-year-old superstar.
Well, the other thing about Davis, right, is Anthony Davis forever has tried to fall down and get whistles.
Right.
And then he just looks at people like, I fell down and get the whistle. What's happening? Meanwhile, the Lakers are in a 5-on-4 the other way. He does that at least 4 or 5 times every game.
Yep.
The Nuggets know that. Jokic will run every single time that Anthony Davis falls down looking for a call he's not getting. And Jokic grabs the rebound, pushes it up the court, Nuggets score. It's just 3 points. It's just 3 buckets that he gives up because he would rather fall down than keep his feet and run back on defense. And again, part of that may be because he's playing 45 minutes of a 48-minute game, you know, and he doesn't have the energy to run back. I would totally understand that. You know, got to sit on the court for a second and catch your breath. But it hurts the Lakers when he does that. And he's going to keep doing it because he's done it his whole career.
So they got nobody else. They got nobody else to go to. Like, Jackson,
well, they can't.
Like I said, Jackson Hayes is your best bet off the bench for your
and,
big
well, Jackson Hayes got ruined happen. Just trying to defend DeAnthony Jordan. DeAndre right. Jordan. DeAndre I know Jordan. What we're talking about.
Yeah. I know.
But, like, I seriously, like, I mean, he picked up 2 fouls in, like, 3 minutes on DeAndre and was like, ouch. Yep. Useless. That guy can't stop Jokic. Like, no. You know, what are you going to do? Like, they have bodies who can go ahead and get in Jokic's way, especially if Christian Wood comes back. Like, maybe they can just buy time with fouls. Like, I don't know, right. Man. Like, it's they don't have a lot of good options. And that's why I've never been afraid of the Lakers. Like, I understand that, You know, LeBron is LeBron. Even though he's 39-year-old LeBron, he's still better than most other guys. He's, you know, sure. He's going to have to be an all-pro this year. He's going to be all-NBA.
Sure.
You know, yeah, he's, I mean, great,
he's
player.
Had a great season. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a great
but he's
season.
Not, but again, but he's not 26-year-old LeBron. And, like, that's correct. What you would have to take. Like,
yep.
He does tire out. Like, he – we right. see it in the second half. He starts settling for three-point jumpers. He's not going to start – you know, he doesn't attack the basket. His defense gets a little
defense definitely
suspect.
Becomes some more. Yeah, it becomes more stationary for sure. And that's right. The thing about Jokic is Jokic doesn't get tired.
No.
Like, he, even if he is tired, he doesn't slow down. Like, that's the amazing part about Nikola, that he looks tired, but he just keeps going at the same right. speed, at the same intensity, at the same intention level. And he should. He's in his prime. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but he's 29. Like this is what he's supposed to do, right?
But yeah, this is
at
when you
39.
Do that.
At 39, I'll say this: at 39, I don't expect Jokic to be
he's not going
to
be doing
the
this.
LeBron
yeah.
numbers that like LeBron's putting up for sure. Like, no, I don't expect Jokic to be playing basketball at all at the age 39.
he'll be in Serbia with his like 4 championships, like, you know, hanging out with his horses and his family. It'll be fine.
That's it.
But now, I just don't know. I don't know what the Lakers have to offer, man. And if you're counting on Reeves and D'Lo to bail you out, like, then you better hope that the Nuggets don't have anyone else put up any numbers. And
right.
Peyton Watson made a couple threes last night, you know, yeah. and I know that's all gravy, but it mattered at the time.
Right.
You know,
DeAndre Jordan, I mean, it's only 4 points, yes. but that exactly when they put him in against Jackson Hayes, like, the Lakers clearly went to a mode of like, hey, DeAndre Jordan's in. Let him try and score.
Right.
Like, I mean, they left him wide open at the free throw line, and DeAndre ended up blowing a layup. But, like, he still got 2 quick buckets that yep. they made them be like, you know, we should probably address this in a different way.
Right. All that has to happen is for the Nuggets bench to not be a non-factor. If they're a factor right. at all, then you can't get enough out of your squad. Like, right. that's the thing, is you have to have your guys go off on the same night that the Nuggets have no one go off. Because if both teams go off, the Lakers are still losing.
Right. Which is sort of, yeah, sort of what we saw in this game one. Speaking of DeAndre, though, what did you think? It's a very classic thing, like an 8-man rotation in the playoffs. Sometimes some coaches even go 7, right? Malone goes the full 10, and some people are like, oh, well, foul trouble, which, like, yeah, okay, Aaron Gordon picked up 2 quick fouls. I get that. And yes, also
and
Peyton Watson. Yeah, yeah, but at the same time, Peyton Watson played 14 minutes. I don't give a shit if he picks up 2 fouls
right.
in the first half. Like,
I hear
fine.
What you're saying. Yep.
So, like, I don't know that I necessarily – and those guys were not in foul trouble in the second half, and Malone still went back to DeAndre Jordan in the fourth quarter to open the fourth.
Yep.
Like, Malone played a full 10-man rotation, which 10-man yes. rotations are even a bit weird to see in the regular season, let alone in the postseason. Are you okay with the 10-man rotation, or are you thinking we're going to see this getting tightened up probably closer to 8 guys as these playoffs go along?
I mean, I'd get to tighten up, but in the first round, why would you want to wear your guys out when you ain't gotta? Like, that's the thing, is they can beat the Lakers playing 10 guys, so why not play 10 guys? Like, that's fine.
Right.
Like, you can tighten up when you get further into the playoffs, and I understand that Jokic played, what, 40 minutes?
Yeah, 39.
You know, yeah, so he played a bunch, but, I mean, he right. averaged 39 in the last playoffs, so
right.
that's
yeah,
pretty
I mean,
standard.
I think most guys were, from the starters, other than Aaron Gordon, who, again, had the foul trouble, like, I think most guys were pretty standard in minutes for the starters.
Yeah.
It was interesting, you know, you saw Peyton Watson and Christian Brown played significantly more minutes than the rest of the bench guys. So you know, it was almost like a 9-ish man rotation, because I don't know that Justin Holiday got back in the second half. But it was just so weird to me when it's so, like, because Malone fully embraced an 8-man rotation last playoffs. Like, he didn't play outside of Bruce Brown, Jeff Green, and Christian Brown. Like, those were the only 3 guys who were coming off the bench for him basically throughout the series. I mean, Reggie Jackson got in there, I think, like, 1 game when maybe somebody tweaked an ankle or something. But like he was full on in the eight man rotation. And I guess I just expected that that would be the case again. Like I expected to be Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, Reggie Jackson. Those would be the three guys. Right. So to see him go full 10 was interesting. And it was a bit frustrating, I'm not going to lie, in that second quarter when the Nuggets are, you know, starting to fall behind. Cause it's like, sure. Hey, why are we out here playing with like five scrubs?
He was driving me crazy with the second quarter rotations. I was right, like, I don't know what you're doing, but it's
like, put somebody in there who can score. Like I'm sick of seeing Reggie Jackson hoist up, you know, low percentage shots. And it was striking me as just very odd. So like, I don't know. Like I thought probably DeAndre Jordan is the one that surprises me the most. I thought we would just go fully into Aaron Gordon as the backup five, like we did last season. And instead he didn't, again, maybe foul trouble played into that. So he had to do something different in the first half, but again, the second half, like Aaron Gordon pick up another foul for the rest of the game after he got those first two, and Malone still went back to DeAndre Jordan. Like that one was a little bit, at least made me step back for a second and go, huh, this is something different. And we'll see how much longer that goes. But like I said, I mean, to DeAndre's credit, like he was fine in his minutes. Most of the bench, I would say, was fine. I think Christian Brown is a guy you look at, like, just got shooted a little bit better, right? Like he ends up 1-5 on the game, 0-2 from three. Still got after the glass decently enough, but like, for the most part, the bench was fine. It just struck me as very odd. And like I said, in the second quarter, of course, when the team is losing, I mean, everybody other than Reggie Jackson was a minus off the bench.
Right.
That part was interesting. So that's something at least I'm going to keep a closer eye on. I'm wondering how much one DeAndre Jordan continues to play, but also like, I don't know, man, Reggie was not good last night. Like at some point, do you just go, does Malone go the same path that he went when he didn't have Jamal and Reggie was starting, which was he tried Colin Gillespie, he tried Jalen Pickett, and was like, neither of these guys are good enough. I'm just going to have Christian Brown bring the ball up the floor, and we're just going to roll with it like that. Like, I don't know that you don't end up seeing Peyton Watson, Justin Holiday, and Christian Brown as your eight-man rotation, if you will, off the bench.
Yeah, but I don't expect that in this round. Like, yeah, that is a decision that he would make, you know, maybe the Timberwolves.
Or the Suns, for sure.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, Timberwolves, I can see him still playing DeAndre, because Timberwolves got some big dudes, but, like, the Suns, right. Like, after Yusuf, like, oh, are we worried about Drew Eubanks? Like, no, nobody's worried about Drew Eubanks.
Right.
So, yeah, I can see that. And, I mean, I think that's the point, especially with the Lakers playing Anthony Davis 45 minutes. Like, you would have probably not wanted to put – well, you also want Aaron Gordon to guard LeBron James, right? Like, that's yes. Where you want AG. So, I guess I can see it from that point. Let's bring in DeAndre to cover those added Anthony Davis minutes. But still, like, I don't know. It was just weird. It was just odd to me to see any coach – play a 10-man rotation in the playoffs.
Well, again, I just think Malone is feeling stuff out and trying to make sure that all of the guys who hadn't played in a week got in the game just in case he needs them later. Like, you sure. Want them to have the rust off in case something happens in game two, game three. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want them to have been sitting for 2 weeks. At least this way, you're like, you had game action 5 days ago. Get in the game.
Right.
So for me, I think that's more precautionary. I don't think that was like some sort of genius plan of his. I think that was, I might need these guys, and I don't want them to not have played since, you know, April 2nd. So for me, that's a precaution on his part, and I don't have a problem with it. It makes sense to me that he would want to get those guys to, like, you know, get ball action, get in the game. And you know, if they were hurting him, take him out, but they weren't hurting him. Like, the only guy who might have been hurting him was Reggie, but, you know, again, he wasn't.
Oddly, is the only one who was a positive off the bench.
Right, but that's what I'm saying, is that, but he might have been, but he still was fine, because his time with the starters was good time.
Right.
So, like, I don't, and the bench was only, like, a negative by a couple. Like, the bench was not a horrible disaster. So, in that sense, to me, there wasn't any reason for Malone to have to shorten the rotation. So it's not like, you know, he was playing 10 guys, but four of those guys were just cheeks out there. You know what I mean?
Right.
It wasn't like that. So the beginning of the second, I was starting to have a little of my, I was starting to wonder, but you know, then the Nuggets put their run together at the end of the second. It was fine.
Sure. And then it was, yeah. Once they got the starters back in, they were
right.
They were
well, the starters were like, what's this deficit? Yeah, we don't care.
Right. Right. Which has been, and that's just become standard operating procedure.
But I think that's part of us is that we as fans flinch with every bucket, but the Nuggets have never flinched. And Malone is not flinching. He's like, yeah, it'll be fine. And that's right. New for Malone. Malone is a flincher. Malone is in every flincher. Possession. Like you don't become the rage timeout guy without it being a flincher.
In that post game press conference, he was very much like, meh, fuck it, it's the Lakers. I don't care. We'll beat them.
I gotta tell you, like, I have friends who are Lakers fans, and they're like, I actually really like your team, except for Malone. That guy is a huge asshole. And I'm like, yes. But the Nuggets don't have that guy on the team, right?
Right.
So Malone plays the role. He's right. Like, if somebody has to be the heel, I'll be the heel. That's
and the difference is, he backs it up every game. Like, yes. They back it up. So, yes.
Like, what are you going to do about it? Like, he's like, right. Kind of own
beat
them.
You yes, nine times in a row. Them. Nine freaking times. Like, yes. Yeah, what do you want from me at this
like,
point?
Like, I don't know what kind of humility, if you want him to be humble about something, you better show him something.
Yeah, maybe like, win a game.
Yeah, maybe make a game difficult. Damn.
Yeah, it's it is funny to me. Yeah, I see that too. Like Lakers, man, they got that they got respect for Jokic, they got respect for Jamal, but fuck, do they hate Malone? so much. And some of that is right. Some of that is the whole Lakers daddy thing, right? Now with all the Nuggets fans, they started up the chant again there and. In game one, like that, the Nuggets fans lean into that. Yeah, I mean, I guaranteed if the Nuggets had lost to some team like nine times in a row, and every time we went to their arena, you know, they're so if some radio broadcaster had called some guy the Nuggets daddy, and that had gotten blown out
right.
of proportion to the point now that the fans are chanting, "Who's your daddy?" Like, yeah, it'd probably piss me off too. I get it, but at the same time, like, man, it's nine straight, like, you. What can you say? Like, what can you possibly say other than, like, we can't beat this team? Which is,
well,
which
that's
is
the thing with the Lakers is they're just a very bad matchup.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Like, the Nuggets do all the stuff the Nuggets do is all the stuff the Lakers can't stop.
Well, and it's also, it's a testament to Tim Connelly and now further Calvin Booth. Like, the Nuggets got to the Western Conference Finals in the bubble. Lost to the Lakers, and they had a guy in Jeremy Grant who they thought was like their guy to help try and solve that issue. He walked right after the end of the bubble. They struggled for you know, they were continued to struggle with big wings, and so they were like, screw it, we're gonna go trade for freaking Aaron Gordon because he is the guy. Like, that the Aaron Gordon trade was made for the sole purpose of who's going to stop LeBron in the playoffs. And they have built this team first and foremost with, like, how are we going to stop LeBron and these big wings? And then they followed that up with, they got, you know, embarrassed by Devin Booker and then embarrassed by Steph Curry, and they're like, all right, we've got Aaron Gordon now, like, who do we got to go out to get to stop these guards, these quick shifty shooting guards from killing us. So they went out and they got KCP. And so now when you go up against the Lakers, it's like, we're the one team who's like, not only can we put Aaron Gordon, the guy who's just as strong and as athletic as LeBron, and let him just beat on LeBron for 48 minutes. But, oh, we've also got KCP. So where other teams, when they face the Lakers, like, we got to put our best wing defender on LeBron and just live with what D'Angelo does.
Right. The Nuggets
like, I got a guy for D'Angelo too. And oh, by the way, despite your narrative about Nikola Jokic and his defense, he's actually a pretty stout defender. And for a guy like Anthony Davis, like, who is going to normally dominate because he's so skilled and so big, like, that he can do that. we've got the one guy who's bigger and more skilled. Like, yes. So there's just no matter what way you go. So then you're in that point of like, we need Austin Reeves to have a huge game against Michael Porter Jr. because like, that's the best weakness we have. Like, that's the best thing that we can try and exploit.
They used to have like the Nuggets, like at one time before Nikola was Nikola, before he was the MVP, the Lakers were like, we're going to use the fact that no one gets fouls called against them when they play for the Lakers against Nikola by throwing giant dudes at him to like beat him up for 48 minutes.
Right.
You know, and they had Dwight Howard and they had JaVale McGee and they ain't got those guys.
Nope.
Like, even if they did, I don't think it would make a difference. Like, it hasn't helped Minnesota all that much. But you know,
yeah, the thing is, like, honestly, like, if the Lakers went out tomorrow and were like, we signed Dwight Howard, like, I would be nervous, because the thing about the difference between the Lakers and the Timberwolves, or at least the Lakers when they had Dwight Howard, was now you got two guys in Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard who are big defensive dudes who can just go around and like and try and dominate it in. Karl Anthony Towns is big, but he's not a defensive dude in any way. Like, nobody is scared of Cat if that's the matchup that they got, if that's the guy they got defended him. And that's where Timberwolves, I think, fall short, is like, you can either put Rudy on Jokic and see what like happens. But I mean, like, even Rudy, like, he can't stop Jokic. Like, nobody can. Like, that's the thing, is the only guy I've ever seen be able to give Jokic any trouble over a consistent amount of time was Dwight Howard in the bubble. Like, that's the only time I've ever seen it.
And it's otherwise, because, again, they weren't calling fouls. Like, there were fouls happening. They were not being called. And it got Jokic out of his game. It would not get him out of his game now.
That's true, too.
My thing is, he learned from that. And he said, oh, so the way that you're going to beat me is by beating me up, and I'm supposed to, like, start yelling about it instead of playing. Now he still yells about it, but he keeps playing. He's like, look, I'm not going to allow you to beat me up that way. And he'll give it back to you because Jokic is 290 pounds of like Serbian badassery, and he'll come give you what you got. So that plan wouldn't work either. The way the Timberwolves have a shot that the Lakers don't is because they have the wing defenders.
I was saying they also have 26-year-old LeBron and Anthony Edwards. So
yes, correct. Actually. So like,
you have that dude.
Yeah, right. And so they've got like some things that can trouble the Nuggets. The Lakers haven't got that. Like, no. the Lakers have D'Angelo Russell, who,
which is why they're a play-in team, right?
Right. And again, they played well after the break. I get it. The Nuggets still played better than them after the break. So why are we having that discussion when they're like, well, the Lakers played better, you know, than they had before? Who cares? So did the Nuggets. Like, that it doesn't.
Though, Gordon, the Nuggets did lose that one game against the San Antonio Spurs, which apparently
people
means
put a lot of weight on that. I understand that, like, it was a weird circumstance when you're up by what, 23 points, and you blow it.
Yeah,
like
against
that
the
is
garbage
a you,
team.
Right, that is a you problem. You did that to yourself. It is a self-inflicted wound. It still kind of makes me mad that they don't have the one seed.
It makes me mad that they didn't set the record for franchise wins.
Didn't set the record for franchise wins. They didn't get the one seed. They're still going to have to go to Minnesota or to Oklahoma if it comes to that. Like, all of that irritates me. But it's not a deal breaker, but it irritates me. That said, it was one game, and I watched the 72 win Bulls like lose to the Denver Nuggets that year.
Lose to the Nuggets. Yep.
Okay.
We're garbage.
It's one game.
This was like a good Nuggets team that they lost. You know, the Nuggets were garbage.
The Nuggets were the second worst team in the league that year, something like that.
Yeah, I think so. They were
It was
terrible.
Awful. They were like 13 wins or something. It was terrible. It happens to even the best teams. It happens. The Nuggets should have won that game, but the fact that so many people waited that against the Lakers and were like, well, the Lakers are going to bring it. The Lakers have not brought it to the Nuggets in years, and they're not going to start this year. So.
Well, that and the other narrative that I thought was so weird was like, well, the Lakers are more rested this time. It won't be like, you know, last time it was a Western Conference Finals. I'm like, once you get into the playoffs, you don't ever play a back-to-back. Like,
right.
And I get the intensity ramps up and all and whatnot, but like, I don't know that you can call, you know, and the Lakers are healthy. I'm like, well, that's funny because both LeBron and Anthony Davis are on the injury report to open this season where open this series where the Nuggets, the only guy on the injury report for the Nuggets was Vlatko Trocar. Like,
yep,
there's so much like copium going on right now with the Lakers fan base and the national media in general of like, because you expect it from the fan base. Of course, fans are going to justify why their beliefs and why their team can win. Like that's what fans should do. But like this national media narrative that like, yeah, so many of them are clinging to this. And of course there's some idiots out there who are like, oh, I'm picking the Lakers to upset the Nuggets. It's like, based on what? Like based on like, and it's funny is they have to do these mental gymnastics to come up with these like reasons of like, oh, well they're healthier and more rested. Because for some reason because it's only the first round and not they were still a play-in team, they still had to like fight their way just to make sure that they were going to get into the playoffs, but somehow like they're more rested even though we watched like Anthony Davis basically, you know, limp off the court in the final game of the regular season and then in the play-in based off back spasms. Like I just don't get it. Like I mean I do get it. Like you gotta. It's a whole media narrative and what's
right, sells. But even so, like I mean, if you looked at ESPN, like every single person at ESPN picked the Nuggets, even like right. notable Nuggets haters picked the Nuggets. So like yes, I mean they picked it to be a hard series. They were like Nuggets in six, Nuggets in seven. But I'm like I understand you guys think this is gonna be tough, and maybe who knows? Like we got a wide series to go, but right. I don't see yeah. But I don't see what the Lakers have to offer that would take the series. And to be fair to, like, national people, at ESPN, nobody picked the Lakers. So, yeah. like, they...
I think Shaq the is the only one that comes to mind who actually picked the Lakers.
Yeah, but he's picking the Lakers.
He's obviously tight TNT because he's a Laker.
He's a Laker. B, Jokic is getting real close to Shaq territory as far as all-time right. rankings are concerned. And he's starting to get a little nervous. And, you know, when you compare a guy to Big Country Reeves when you first start watching him, and then Big Country Reeves is going to surpass your legacy, that starts getting a little dicey.
Right.
So as much as Shaq has been a Nikola guy and Nikola's in the club, Nikola should not be the president of the club. And that's what's bothering Shaq right now. That,
right.
That if Jokic keeps this up, he's going to be the president of the club. So
yeah, which he's well on his way, right? Like well on his way. I mean, honestly, if Jokic wins another Finals MVP, the conversation Jokic versus Shaq is going to get really, really heated there.
And it's just a matter of how long Jokic plays. Like,
right?
You know, because as
Shaq did play forever.
But. Right. As far as peak, you know, it's going to be tough to be like, do you want Shaq at his peak or Nikola at his peak? And I'm like, look, man, you can't hack a Nikola.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You know? Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he's not as dominant a defender as Shaq was, but...
But Shaq was a dominant defender against guys who couldn't shoot threes.
Right, yeah, in a different era when everybody was trying to drive to the basket. And here's
right, he was a dominant defender when guys were like, I will attack you to your face. He was not a dominant defender when you were like, I'm going to run Shaq around the perimeter.
Right. Yeah. Let me get a switch on Shaq out in the perimeter and then see what he does. Exactly. Like.
Right. So like, it's such a different game now. And it's, I mean, I would have loved to watch Shaq versus Nikola. That would be hilariously fun to me because Nikola is one of the only big enough guys to like be able to get where he wants to get on a court with Shaq. There are not a lot of guys that could do that.
Right.
You know, but I just, as far as legacy goes, I do think that the Shaq versus Nikola is getting real tight. And if this playoffs goes away, I think it's going to go, it's going to get tighter.
It's going to get very tight. It's going to be up for debate, you know, for sure. I mean, because you start talking about top five centers all time, and obviously you're going to put Wilt, Russell, and Kareem in that group right off the bat.
Yep.
Then you start talking about Hakeem. You start talking about Hakeem Shaq
versus Shaq, right?
And you start talking about
Shaq
Jokic,
says Hakeem like, was honestly. Better. So when Shaq said Hakeem is better, then like,
which is funny,
I take
like
Shaq at his word.
I would actually disagree. Hakeem might have been. Hakeem was probably a little bit more skilled, but Shaq was also incredibly skilled, and Shaq was huge. So like,
I think that's
the difference. If you could have put Hakeem in Shaq's body, then yeah, sure, of course.
Well, that was what's amazing. Was amazing about Hakeem is that Hakeem beat Shaq in the finals easily.
But Shaq was young.
I know, but Shaq was huge. But
he was huge.
Hakeem was like 6'9", 6'10". He's not a 7-footer.
Right.
But he's so good defensively that though he's given up 50 pounds, 60 pounds to Shaq, he's like, yeah, I got this. It's fine.
Right.
And both had great series.
Rakeem's probably the most skilled center we've ever seen. I mean, Jokic is another guy who's going to challenge for that. But
I just think Hakeem is one of those guys that, like, if he played now, he would be shooting and making threes.
Yeah,
he would be phenomenal. He would be phenomenal. Like, it's one of these things where you're like, I'm sorry that you had to play in such a limited era because you had the skills to do even more than you were doing then, and you are an Inner Circle Hall of Famer. And you would only get better now. Like I said with Larry Bird, right? Larry Bird would have been even better.
It would be amazing. Yeah, for sure. Same Magic Johnson would have been
amazing.
And then the guys, it's funny, is Michael Jordan probably would not have been as good, right? Scottie Pippen would have been even better, though. Like, that's interesting. Yeah.
Right, and that would have been the thing with Mike, is you're like, with Mike, could he have made more threes if he had cared? If he knew it mattered, would he have made more threes? Yeah. And I would tell you, the guy who bought a pool table just to beat, because somebody beat him at pool once, and he learned how to play pool just because he was mad he lost one time, like, that guy would learn how to shoot threes. Right. Like, he would do what it took. But, I mean, LeBron has. LeBron came in and couldn't shoot threes for shit either, you know, and over the course of his career got pretty good at it.
Now he's a little bit too much in love with it.
Well, he can't run like he used to.
Right, because that's what he does in the second half. All right, we're way off topic.
We have one game to talk about. So
That's exactly it. Who on the Denver side are you looking at? Like, hey, this guy needs to step it up a little bit more.
Jamal.
Really, Jamal? He had some big moments in that game.
Well, Jamal's moments were fine. Jamal's assists were fine. Jamal just got big shots.
10 assists.
Like, 9 for 24 is not going to cut it. Like,
That's fair. And he was good from 3. Like, 4 from 9, that's from...
Yeah, it was the twos. It was the twos. Sure. He didn't have his step-back game that he normally has.
Right. Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, do you think... of course not. Like, I'm like, do you think any of that is because of the way the Lakers are defending him? But like,
hell no. Like, hell no.
The Lakers wing defenders are not Lakers forte. Yeah, you know, interesting. So this is something that we've seen the Lakers do plenty of times against Jamal, and they tried it again too. It's like also on defense, right? Like, they're hunting that matchup. They want to get LeBron switched onto Jamal.
Right. And they did it a couple times. Yep.
Yeah, and they did it. And I thought he did okay in that scenario, but. I think that's a fair assessment, right? Just because of the shooting, he did really struggle there. But at the same time, like I said, I mean, he ends up with 10 assists. You know, he was 4 for 9 from three. Like, so yeah, he ends up being what, like 5 for 15 from two, which is not good. But like, if he's knocking down his threes and setting guys up.
Yeah, yeah.
Misses some teams,
I have a high bar for playoff Murray. Like, sure. You know, Murray played fine, but I would not consider that to be a great Murray game. Even though, stat line-wise, it looks really good. But I just, especially if he's going to be running the bench, like,
yeah, Murray's and that's where they need him to be
more complete. Right.
100%. I mean, that's why Jamal ends up as a +9, and Michael Porter Jr. is a +10, and then everybody else is... you know, +14 or above in that starting lineup, is because those Jamal and Mike were the two guys rolling with the bench, and they just didn't get a lot of production in those minutes. You know, another guy that I'm going to point out is Aaron Gordon, for a couple of things, like, you know, the foul trouble, like, you got to avoid that. You got to be better. You know what the Lakers whistle is, like, you got to be ready for that. He also 12 points on 11 shots. He didn't shoot it particularly well, 0 for 3 from 3. had good assist and rebound numbers, but that's an, and then ultimately LeBron James had 27 points. Like, because that's the thing, is like, you if Aaron Gordon isn't shooting it well, that's fine, but he's got to like give. He's got to be like keeping LeBron under, you know, 20. He's got to keep him in that low 20s area. It's for me to be like, okay, that's fine then.
Well, it depends on the shots that LeBron's taking. Like, sure. Me, like, LeBron was 16 shots for 27 points. That's like, that's too easy.
That's too easy, right? For sure. And he was hitting some threes, you know, which I think as a general strategy with both LeBron and Anthony Davis, like, you will live with the threes. Like, if he
made a 28 foot pull up or whatever, and I was like, whatever. Yeah,
but,
like that. He,
but at the same time, I'm fine when he made that. When he made that, I was screaming at my television, like, get up on him. Like, it's the end of the half. You know,
right. He's going to do this. Yeah, you know, like, he's got to shoot it.
Don't let him shoot it in rhythm, which they did. And, you know,
and he made it.
Yeah, like, guess what? When you've got a full head of steam coming out of the backcourt, coming out of, you know, and then you have to fire that thing off, like, you're going to have a lot better chance with a full head of steam of hitting a logo three than later when he tried to shoot a logo three and bricked it because he was just from a standstill. Like, that's what frustrated me so much about that long one, was like, man, you knew that was coming. And, like, they all just kind of like, ah, let's let him shoot it. But yeah, I mean, it was just too easy for LeBron, I think, in general. There was too many times he got to the basket for his layout. He was classic LeBron in that sense, right? Just go downhill, get to the hoop, and he's so good once he's in the air with his body control that, you know, he'll find a way to finish.
Well, and part of that, too, was the two early fouls that AG got. He had to play different. But, I mean, what I liked about Aaron Gordon in the game was the rebounds you were talking about. That he did have 11 boards. Like, and LeBron did not. LeBron had
six offensive rebounds from Aaron Gordon, which was huge.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The Nuggets, we've watched the Nuggets, I feel like, down the stretch get killed on the offensive glass so much. It was very refreshing to see them do it to another team instead.
Yep.
Here this one.
So, yeah, like, I it's hard to nitpick, man. Like, MPJ was fine. He started slow, but like they kept giving him the ball and he kept finding ways to do it.
Man, like,
well, that's what I'm saying. With him, the week that he had, he performed as well as anyone could have expected, and higher than I was expecting him to perform.
Right.
He had his head in the game. He was doing what he had to do. Like, the Nuggets didn't have any really bad performances. Like, they didn't have anybody you were like, oh, I can't believe. You know, again. Reggie, but but I mean, the problem is that, like, that's not a bad game. That's a bad game because everybody else looked good.
Right.
Like, I know what a bad Reggie Jackson game looks like. That wasn't it.
Yeah, it's hard for me to be too, like, upset with Reggie when he only
played
took four
nine
shots.
Minutes. Like, you know, and he didn't do that much. It's fine.
Right. Right. Yeah, it was fine. Yeah, I mean, obviously Christian too is another guy you want to see him hopefully knock down a couple more of those shots. But he I think also recognized, like, it wasn't like he took 10 shots, right? Like, he recognized, like, hey, it's not going. He ends up with 5 rebounds in his own right. Like, he did other things to still be effective in that game, even with his shot not falling. Now, he was my thing to bet that he was going to score at least 7 points. So that way, on that end, I'm a little
you're
frustrated,
like,
with old Christian. I know we had such a good streak on the thing to bet going too. I know. But old Christian lets down. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's I don't think there's too much to nitpick from the Nuggets. You know, that run when they fall behind in the second quarter. I'd probably nitpick maybe below more than anybody of like, hey, well, you're gonna roll out with essentially a full bench lineup, like, while Darvin Ham is playing LeBron and AD, you know, 40 plus minutes. Like,
but you don't want to match your guys to that. Like,
I
like the fact that he was like, you brought AD back already? Well, suffer then. Like, Jokic.
Then that's fine, right? I'll put DeAndre down there, and he can bang around with DeAndre for a little bit.
Right. Sure. He did not react to what LA was doing. He said, you know what? We're going to win this anyway, so we're just going to do what we do. And sometimes that annoys me when he does that. But in this case, he correctly judged that their plan was not a threat and that his guys would be able to pull it out. I think if the offense had been strangled to death, like maybe he would have chosen differently. But it's hard when you're just missing open shots. The Nuggets missed a bunch of open shots in the first half.
They sure did. Yep.
And so, it's hard to say, well, the process isn't working, because the process was fine. You just didn't make the shot.
Just didn't knock him down. Yeah, 100%. 100%. All right, well, we are getting here towards the end of the show, so we'll wrap it up with this, Gordon. We will, again, not talk again until after game four. Do you think when we are sitting down next Sunday that we are still talking about this Lakers series, or are we talking about who's going to be the second-round opponent?
We're obviously going to talk about who the second-round opponent is, but we may have one more game to finish it off. I have trouble believing that we're going to win like 12 in a row against the Lakers. Like at some point they have to find something.
At some point, like
what?
It's the statistical variance eventually dictates that
I mean, the Lakers are a legit playoff team. They have legit players. They are not, the Nuggets blew a game to the Spurs that mattered. At some point, if the Nuggets are up 3-0, you really think they're going to try to take it out in L.A.? Or are they going to come home in game five and take care of business?
Well, I think they'll try and get him in L.A.
But that's the thing, right? Last year they did. Last year they were like, yeah, we're doing it there. But against Minnesota, in the first round, it also went to five.
Yeah.
I could see it going to five. So
that's fair. Sort of similar to that Minnesota thing where they end up getting one in overtime in game four. Sure.
Right. And you're like, okay, fine. You can have this one. We'll just go beat you at home. Go away.
Yeah. I feel, I said this to a buddy of mine, because he was asking me, what I thought, because he was trying to figure out where he was going to place his bet on how many games. He's like, what do you think? Five or six? And I told him, I said, I think four. And he was like, you're nuts. And I was like, no, I think four. But then I told him, I was like, but, Nuggets might lose game one. That seems like a Nuggets type of thing to do. Like, come out and not quite take it serious enough. After I saw that performance, they're like, yeah, I think.
I could absolutely see it being asleep. I could. I just feel like statistically, again, I told you, I don't know.
It's got to happen at some point.
But I just feel like the Nuggets are going to have a game where they shoot like 31% from the field and the Lakers win by five. You know what I mean?
It could happen. It could happen.
Yeah, but it other than that, I really don't know where it comes from. But I fully expect us to be talking about how the Lakers need to be finished off real quick, and then we'll talk about who our next opponent is going to be. But if we're happy talking about the second round, I would love to be talking just about the second round. I would adore sweeping the Lakers in consecutive playoffs. Would be amazing.
I mean, that would be amazing. That would be 12 in a row would just be like ridiculous. I think the other thing though that would obviously benefit you, even if you get it done in five, I think that Timberwolves Suns, even though the Timberwolves pretty much they put it to the Suns there in game one. I still think that Timberwolves Suns series is headed for at least six, if not seven.
Agreed. I think it's six. Yeah.
Right. So I think you've got, if you can wrap it up with the Lakers quick, you get yourself some nice extra rest for whoever that team is that you would face there in the second round. So I'm hopeful they do. Like I said, but I just can't see. I just don't know. Like you kind of said, it's going to take the Nuggets. The Nuggets will have to beat themselves. If they're locked in and playing well, then there's just nothing LA can do.
Right. No, I there isn't. And there's certainly nothing that the Lakers have. If the Nuggets play like the Nuggets, the Lakers cannot beat them. So the Nuggets are going to have to play different for the Lakers to have a shot.
Right. Yep, 100%. All right, we'll tell you what, we will go ahead, we will close it out there. Make sure you guys are following us on Twitter. I'm at Zach Mikosh. Gordon is at GMoneyNugs, also at Denver Stiffs, and at Mile High Sports. Also, make sure you guys are headed down to number 38 in Rhino. It is the official home of the Denver Stiffs for the 2024 NBA playoffs. We're going to be doing some fun stuff here for these road games that are coming up. So on Thursday, we will have a live pregame podcast, DJ during the commercial breaks, giveaways, the whole nine yards. If you guys have been to any other Stiff Nights out over at number 38, you know how we throw down over there. This will be no different, but we will do it both on Thursday and then on Saturday night. That place, I was looking at some pictures of that place from the playoffs last season. It gets pretty packed. So, and it's a huge venue. Like, there's tons of room, but it will get pretty packed. So make sure you get down there a little bit early, come by, say hi to me, some of your favorite personalities from Mile High Sports, Ryan Blackburn, Sean Drotar, a couple of other guys will be down there as well. So, check us out again. That is number 38 in Rhino. I should have been more prepared. That is on 3560 Chestnut Place. Technically Denver, Colorado, but check us out. Like I said, we'll be there Thursday and Saturday in full regalia. Check us out though. Go ahead and head on down there tomorrow night on Monday, if that's your fancy. I believe, you know, typically number 38 I don't think they're normally open on a Mondays, but they are going to be for this playoff game. So make sure you're checking them out there and checking them out all through the playoffs as a partner with Denver Stiffs. Also hit up Autograph, the Autograph app. Autograph is a great service that we are now partnering with, that where you can go and they compile all kinds of great sports content, podcasts, articles, so on and so forth. You can check that stuff out there. And for everything that you listen to or engage with, you get reward points and you can use those rewards to buy cool stuff. Things like $24 playoff tickets. You can't beat that anywhere. So make sure you guys are checking out the Autograph app and download that using code Autograph. We make it very simple for you here, and you can start earning those rewards today. Mr. Gross, it is a pleasure as always. Happy to know that we're back on the mic again.
Right. Glad to be back, especially for this kind of run. 15 to go. Yeah.
Nobody wants to podcast about game 51 against the dregs of the Eastern Conference, but
that is 15
to go here in the playoffs. All right, you guys, we will talk to you next week.